Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. As always, we're thankful to have you with us. We trust that you'll pray with us together as we state every Sunday while we gather around the pages of God's holy Word to look into the glorious Word of God and see the truths of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. Pray for us in a very special way today and for yourself, that God would allow you to reflect and to meditate upon the subject that we have on our mind to share with you on this Lord's Day. Understanding the doctrinal point that we're going to try to discuss today is key to understanding the truth of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. The truth of sovereign grace. It's the glorious truth of your relationship, the basis of your relationship, what God has done, what He's doing today, and what He's going to do in the future. Every bit of it is undergirded by the sovereign grace of God. To rightly understand that truth, you have to understand the doctrinal principle that we're going to try to discuss with you today, the Lord being our helper. And why is it essential? Why is it necessary for you that you understand truth and rightly divide the Word of God? Jesus said, your understanding truth is as essential as freedom is to a prisoner that is being held in a prison cell. You think that prisoners want to be free? Of course they do. Every day they dread the impact of their captivity. We are held captive by error, inerrant thoughts. If you want to see how Christ has set you free, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, only truth, shall set you free. I want God's people to be free, to have liberty, the joy of precious gospel liberty, free from the guilt and the condemnation of their sins, free to serve Him in the new and living way. You can't do that unless you properly understand the truth of sovereign grace. Now, this doctrinal principle that we want to talk with you about today is called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. That's kind of a long term. The word prevenient, for those of you who'd like to research further, is spelled P-R-E-V-E-N-I-E-N-T. Prevenient grace. And that word prevenient describes a certain quality or aspect, principle, concerning the grace of God. We'll read to you from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, here in our text, the eminent Apostle Paul, the man who wrote over half of the books in the New Testament, who told us that his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said that his relationship with the Savior was to be a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. In other words, if we can see how God dealt with the Apostle Paul in the power of his grace, in the majesty of his grace, then we can see the pattern of God's grace with us and see how God has dealt with us. And there'll be great joy, I promise you, as you explore and fathom the glorious truths of God's grace. In our text that we read, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, Paul tells us plainly, now here it is, you're going to have to listen with your spiritual thinking caps on today as we delve a little deeper into the truths of God's grace. Paul, in this passage, tells us plainly that God's works in operations of grace, that God moving on his behalf in grace, did not just begin on the road to Damascus, but long before. Now let me say this. Paul's experience of the grace of God moving toward him happened on the road to Damascus. I'm very confident of that. That was Paul's first experience of it. But God's grace moved on Paul's behalf long before the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was known then, met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. The God of all grace had thoughts of mercy toward the Apostle Paul from everlasting, and separated him, as he said, from his mother's womb. From the time he was born in his mother's womb, he had been separated as an object of God's everlasting love. And then, if you read over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, you'll see that even before the foundation of the world, God had loved Paul, even then in the covenant of grace. As Paul was inspired to write these words, his heart swelled with gratitude. Because you see, this is the way God always works in grace. This is what God does for all of his elect. Jeremiah 31:3, you've heard me quote this many, many times in this broadcast. We see here the Lord telling the prophet Jeremiah and his children in the Old Testament that before the world ever was, that he was moving in grace on their behalf, in prevenient grace. He says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord hath appeared of old. That means in ancient times. In ancient eternity past, the Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. And so we've selected Galatians 1:15 and 16 here because the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to use his own life and experience as an example of what theologians refer to as prevenient grace. And that's what I want to talk to you about today in this message. We don't often hear that term, prevenient grace, used today. But there was a time when preachers talked about it and wrote about it regularly. I remember one of my fathers in the ministry, old Elder Cecil Daugherty, used to talk about prevenient grace all of the time in his messages. That term, prevenient grace, represents a glorious and beautiful theological truth. The word prevenient means preceding or coming before. Something that precedes or comes before something else. And so prevenient grace is the preceding grace of God. You remember I told you that the Lord had done things on behalf of the Apostle Paul. God had moved on behalf of the Apostle Paul before Paul ever had an awareness of him on the road to Damascus. God had moved on his behalf. Paul said it right there. We read it to you. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Paul said God's grace had been moving on his behalf in time, from the time that he was born into this world, when he was separated from his mother's womb. Now the scripture gives us much instruction about this prevenient grace, this preceding or going before grace. Numerous illustrations of it. And we'll look in a few places in the book of God to learn how God moves in advance on behalf of his people. As we will see, God moves in advance of time. God moves in advance of their coming into this world. God moves in advance of their knowing him. God's grace is prevenient in advance of or going before grace. The Word of God is very, very clear. God's grace moves before as preserving grace. In the opening verse of Jude, it's declared that grace by which we are preserved in Jesus Christ. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Here, the Holy Ghost tells us that all who are God's, because we are from eternity, how are we God's? From eternity, we're sanctified by God the Father, and everyone that was sanctified by God the Father, that means set apart in eternity past by God the Father, are preserved in Jesus Christ. The word preserved means watched over, to be guarded, kept from loss or injury. And it's a passive verb. That means the subject is not active. You and I aren't active in our preservation. That is the sweet message of God to our hearts in these words. And here it is. We're sanctified by God the Father. That is, God in prevenient going before grace, God has set us apart unto himself in Christ in eternal election so that we're absolutely kept from any eternal harm coming to us, because in Christ we're made the objects of his unceasing care, always caring for us, even when we did not care for him. In his going before our prevenient grace, God was caring for us. And so the word could be translated, preserved in Christ or kept for Christ. The Lord our God keeps his eye upon us at all times, watches over us, and guards and protects his family continually. And this preservation is altogether his work. Let everyone that is listening this morning who trust the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, understand and ever rejoice in this blessed fact that in the eternal phase of sanctification, that is, our being set apart by the electing love of God in Christ before the world ever was, in the eternal phase of sanctification, we're set apart by God the Father in election in Christ, chosen in him. We have a place in his heart who declares, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And we are from everlasting in his heart, in his hands, in him. We are one with Christ. We're one in him as members of his body, and we're one with him in our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're one with him as our covenant surety and our representative before God. And being one with him and one in him, we are preserved in him and by him. We're preserved, listen, beloved, we're preserved by him. Before we were ever born again and called, we were preserved by him and continue to be preserved by him after we've been born again, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verse 28, of his people, he said, they are preserved for ever. My friends, that's a long time. All of God's elect family are preserved in Christ from eternity, preserved before their calling, and preserved unto their calling. We're preserved from condemnation and the second death. We're preserved. We were not kept from falling with the rest of mankind in the sin and fall of our father Adam. We were not kept from the depravity and the corruption and the horrible impact of sin, which all men and women have by birth from Adam. We were not kept from iniquity and transgression and sin. As Paul said, we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Yet, my friends, even in those days gone by in our life, though we were fallen and depraved and hell-bent, the children of wrath, Jude tells us, and all of Scripture teaches us, that we are now God's children, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are so completely and absolutely preserved, watched over, guarded, and protected by our God by virtue of our union with Christ, that it's not possible for any of us to suffer any real loss or injury by all that we experience in time. It cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, because God in His grace has gone before us, and His prevenient grace has gone before us before we ever had a dwelling or a being in this world, and preserved us in Christ Jesus. We were, even in our wrathful state, in our active state of rebellion and disobedience, when we only serve sin and only serve Satan in a state of complete unbelief, we were so preserved that the law could not execute the sentence of condemnation on us. Sin could not damn us, and Satan could not destroy us. What a glorious truth that is, my friends. So that after we're called to life, and after we're called to Christ, we are preserved still in the Son of God. Now, friends, no, we're not preserved from indwelling sin. But in spite of indwelling sin, we're still preserved in Christ. We're not preserved from temptation, but in the midst of temptation, prevenient grace goes ahead of us and preserves us. We're not preserved from doubts and fears and unbelief. And I say it to my shame that I'm racked with them at times in my life. But in the midst of unbelief and doubts and fears, the preserving grace of God is there. We're not preserved from slips and falls, from acts of sin, from attitudes of evil. But in spite of them, we're preserved. As our precious Savior said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. In Him, we're preserved in sanctification, in justification, in redemption, and grace. We're preserved as the sons of God, heirs of heavenly glory, preserved in life, and absolutely preserved in indestructible safety and security. And Peter said it this way, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. We have an inheritance. It's reserved because we're preserved by the prevenient grace of God that goes ahead of us in the work of God's preservation. What blessed words are those? What unspeakable blessedness is this? Only a loving God from the heart of Him could such wonders be known to poor sinners in this world. Only in eternity will we be able to completely and fully contemplate them. Yet praise His blessed name through the gospel in the book of God, there are glorious truths that are revealed, preserved in Christ Jesus, and every form and degree is implied, and every state and condition, every circumstance is included. Every danger, every foe, every weapon that could be formed against us is taken into consideration by our blessed God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Still, these words of Jude are sure. We are preserved in Christ Jesus. Oh, my friends, oftentimes men who own vineyards, the keepers, the husbandmen of vineyards, would go through and they would cut out old and withered vines and pluck them so that the vine might be more productive. That trimming, that pruning has to take place, that purging of the vine. But there is a picture that is given to us in Isaiah chapter 65 of a gardener who goes into a vineyard and he's pruning away the withered and the dry and the unprofitable, unfruitful withered vines. And yet he is stopped by the owner of the vineyard. And here is the picture. When a gardener is about to cut down a dried up vine, about to prune away some unfruitful branches, the owner of the vineyard passes by and he notices a cluster of new grapes on the vine that the gardener was about to trim off. And when he sees that cluster of new grapes, he cries out to the vine dresser. He said, "Destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it." In Isaiah 65 and verse 8, the Lord says, "As new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all." Friends, you may feel like, what he's saying is this, you may feel like, you may look at your circumstances at times, you may look at your life so fraught with unbelief and unfaithfulness and ravaged by sin at times, and you think, there's nothing to me. Surely I'm not preserved. Let me say, the God of heaven and of earth, though we ourselves but were worthless and dead and dried vines, fit only to be cut down and cast into the fire, the God of glory, the God of all grace, saw something else in us and sees something else that only He alone could produce. By His grace, what a glorious picture that is. We look worthless. We appear to needlessly be occupying space, ugly and dried up. And a gardener would have cut us down, would have thought that it was the only fit thing to be done with us. Nothing in the field is uglier than an old dried up vine. But the owner saw a blessing in something that appeared to be worthless. The Holy Spirit, friends, doesn't leave us to wonder at the application. Notice what the Lord says. He said, "So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all." He is going to preserve us. He is going to work in us, my friends, the good work of eternal life. He is going to bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our heart somewhere between conception and the grave. Praise His holy name. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Listen, my friends, the only reason God does not destroy this world right now is He's not willing that any of His saints should perish. No, they're all going to come into this world and they're all going to be born again. And prevenient grace, grace that goes ahead of His children, is going to sustain this world so that all of His family might come into this world and be born, and after they've been born, then be born again and Time will not cease. The Lord Jesus Christ will not come again. The trumpet will not sound. The loud shout will not depart from his glorious lips, that time shall be no more until the last heir of promise has been born into this world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, every one of them. No, my friends, he said he's going to do it for his servant's sake. Destroy it not. There's a blessing in it, Isaiah said. So I will do for my servant's sake. Listen, my friends, God did not destroy the world until Noah and his family was safely in the ark. God did not destroy Sodom until his child Lot was safely delivered unto Zoar. And Joshua and Caleb entered into the land of promise, though all of those who came out of Egypt perished, because God had his hand on them in a very special way. And so, listen, beloved, the rest of the world exists and is used by God for his family. There's a blessing in it because of the presence of the family of God. And it is going to be maintained. It's going to be provided for. God is going to go ahead of his children that shall yet come into this world, and by prevenient grace sustain and maintain this world. He's going to preserve it into the last heir of promise is born. He said through the mouth of the prophet Malachi of his people that he would have all of them, that he's not going to do without a single one of them. It doesn't matter how weak the lamb. It doesn't matter how sick the lamb. It doesn't matter how diseased the lamb may be. It doesn't matter how they may have strayed. It doesn't matter how unfaithful the lamb has been. The Lord declared in the book of Malachi that they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a father spares his son. The Father is going to have us. Grace, prevenient grace, grace that goes ahead, is going to see to it. May you rest. May you revel. May you rest sweetly in that grace this week.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.